chick flicks, romantic comedies, rom-coms. You love them, you hate them, but we are here to eviscerate them. Welcome to the Rom-Com Killjoys podcast. I'm your host, Janelle Walker. Now, let's get on with some feminist joy killing.
Hi, welcome back, everyone. It's Eliza. We do not have Janelle with us this week because she is off dealing with life, as happens sometimes. But don't worry, we still have a great episode ahead. We're going to be talking this week about our first musical rom-com, the absolutely fabulous film Mamma Mia. And if we're going to talk about musicals, I thought we should bring someone on who's a bit of an expert in talking about musicals. So I'm going to introduce you to my wonderful friend, Emily Martinez, a fabulous artist, content creator, and all-around person. Emily, say hi.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me, Eliza.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name is Emily Martinez. I am a New York actor, mainly musical theater, and content creator on YouTube and Instagram. And I'm just trying, as I tell people, I'm just trying to get through this hot mess we call life one day at a time, especially during these crazy days. And I make content on YouTube that is geared towards who I call the Forever Theater Kid. And I think that's honestly anyone who has a slight passion for the arts in any way, whether you're a professional artist, crew member, technician, in any way involved in the theatrical space, even like administration, because once you're kind of in it, I feel like it never leaves you. Like I even say like those random jocks from high school that like did one musical because maybe they injured themselves. Like they still remember that musical and they're like, oh, Bye Bye Birdie was dope. I loved being in Bye Bye Birdie.
That's excellent. I love that. Yeah. So all of you Forever Theater Kids, welcome to the episode.
Yes. Welcome.
And on that note, let's get into talking about our movie this week, which is Mamma Mia. Such a great movie. I love this movie, unapologetically.
I am obsessed with this movie. I'm like leaning back in my chair, just like gazing up at the sky, being like, I love this movie.
For anyone who doesn't know, it was a Broadway musical, then turned into a movie. The plot, according to Google, is Donna, played by Meryl Streep, an independent hotelier in the Greek islands, is preparing for her daughter's wedding with the help of two old friends. Meanwhile, Sophie, Amanda Seyfried, the spirited bride, has a plan. She secretly invites three men from her mother's past in hopes of meeting her real father and having him escort her down the aisle on her big day. So that's what Google says the movie is about. Emily, do you agree? What would you say this movie is about?
Yeah. I would say that's pretty close to it in terms of, like, the main points. But there are so many things where I'm just like, I kind of also want to entitle this, like, Sophie, get ready for the wedding. Like, stop running around. Just get ready for the wedding. Because I know from my own experience for my wedding day, it took me hours. Okay, we'll get into it. It took me so long to get ready that I'm just like, you do not have this kind of time.
No, I know. There's this scene where she, like, runs into her mom and is like, oh, can you help me get ready? And it's, like, an hour before the wedding.
I'm just like, there's no way your hair would dry. I just couldn't. I can't.
And they're, like, painting her nails.
And they're, like, looking at photographs. I'm like, ladies, we are on a time crunch
here.
Right,
that was what yesterday was for.
Oh, my God.
So there's a wedding in this, and, you know, it's interesting because we talk a lot on this show about what makes a rom-com, what makes something a romantic comedy, mm-hmm. and a lot of musicals I wouldn't qualify as a rom-com, but this one I feel like has so many of the sort of, tenets of a rom-com. It's all based around a wedding. You have multiple possible suitors, you have an older couple and a younger couple, and their, you know, sort of relationships are compared, you have misunderstanding hijinks that happen sort of in the middle. Like, it's got all of those things.
Yeah. I would even say it's even farcical. Like, mm-hmm. it's got a lot of entrances and exits, just missing one another. Like,
yeah, it's got sort of, you know, a French farce or a Shakespearean sort of element to it, which is a lot of fun. And especially in the movie, you know, everyone on the screen is having such a good time.
They look like, I just wanted to be there because everybody was having fun. And, like, I love every scene where the, like, women just, like, push the men aside and they're like, get out of the way. I just want to dance. And I'm like, yes, put your purses down, ladies, and just dance.
This is a very female positive story, I would say.
And like, not even just female positive, like age positive, mm-hmm. body positive. Like, they're the Greek chorus, as I call them, which I feel like there's actually supposed to be a Greek chorus.
Yeah.
They're so diverse, and mm-hmm. they look like, they don't look like they're actors. They look like they're just like people they got on the island that were like, oh, you want to be part of this movie and be amazing in the background? And they're like, yeah. I loved it. It gave me so much joy to just like see them dancing. Like, nobody's a great dancer, to mm-hmm. be honest. Like, nobody's a great singer, but I love it. It just, they're singing with so much joy. Nobody's taking anything too seriously.
Yeah.
Except Sky. He takes things real seriously. And I'm like, you need to sit down. Stop it.
I wish that Sky had a personality.
He's just like...
He's just there.
He's just like the shell of a groom that doesn't want to get married. And I'm just like,
well, and why? It's not entirely clear if he doesn't want to get married or if he just doesn't want a big wedding. You know, and so I wish there was a little more to him,
because yeah.
the older guys get much more personality.
Absolutely. I just kind of find me going, oh, this guy's a dud. But then, like, I love it at the same time. I don't know about you, but when I first saw this, this came out in, like, 2008. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because it came out right when I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it with my mom and being, like, the whole slipping through my fingers was very, like, nostalgic of going to college, and, like, we were very emotional while watching it, and it was very, like, mother-daughter time. But I remember, like, at that time being, like, watching it, number one, the fashion, and number two, watching it and being like, oh, my God, like, don't go wasting your emotion was the sexiest number. Meanwhile, I'm watching it now, I'm like, this is so uncomfortable.
It's so awkward.
Like, the crawling on the sand was not sexy, and then randomly all these strange men that we haven't seen yet in the film that are supposed to be his bachelor party, like, what? And then I used to be like, oh my God, I was watching this with my husband Gabe and going like, oh, I remember loving this choreography. And then I was watching it again and I was like, what is happening on the screen?
I feel like there are moments that don't translate as well from the stage to the screen, and that's one of them in this movie. You're on a stage and suddenly a random collection of background people appear. It's not strange, you know, it's part of the dialogue that we use.
Yeah.
And when it happens on a screen, you have to be a little more careful that it doesn't feel like you've suddenly stepped into a magical world where people appear out of the water.
Where, like, I will say, though, for the most part, like, that felt like that was the only musical theater moment that happened in the movie that I felt was jolting. Like, mm-hmm. every other moment, I felt like it worked so well because they weren't trying to do this La La Land type thing. They weren't trying to be like, this isn't a musical. Like, this is real life and we're just singing, too. Where everything was taken so seriously, like, the whole show, the whole movie was stylized mm-hmm. so much so that it felt like it was like, no, we know that we're bringing a musical to the screen. And so everything that was so heightened and so exaggerated for me really worked, mm-hmm. except that moment. When they pop out of the water, I'm just like, I think it's just that idea of so many random men popping out of the water. It's like... is terrifying to me.
Yeah. Well, the movie definitely gives itself over into the campiness
yes,
of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Which, you know, is such a theater thing, and especially musical theater and musical theater comedies, that it's nice to watch the movie just embrace it.
Yeah, it's just cheeky. It knows how mm-hmm. cheeky it is.
Absolutely. You know, you have that scene when they're singing Money, Money, and the women are suddenly like, on a cruise ship.
Oh, yes.
You know, you get this on a boat moment.
Oh, yes. I was like, Meryl, you better run in that chiffon dress.
Just living it up on a cruise ship.
I mean.
In the sea next to Greece. You know, like, why not?
And I can tell you, it's not that cute normally. I spent 4 years on cruise ships, and I waited for my Meryl Streep moment, and it never happened. And I was like, well, I'm out of here. I'm not Meryl here. I have to find it elsewhere.
You will find your Meryl Streep moment, I believe. Yeah, so it's just, it's fun. You know, and the one thing that does get me, as much fun as all of the actors are having, there are a few of the actors, Pierce Brosnan in particular, who
Bless him.
The voice is just not there.
He was acting his face off. He was trying so hard.
You gotta give him credit. He really goes all in.
But he wasn't giving us that Russell Crowe where it's like, as soon as he starts singing, like, there's no emotion in his face. Like,
right.
He was trying to act so hard. He was, like, acting for the notes to come out. And it was like, oh, boo-boo. It's not coming.
I have to ask, as a professional performer, how do you feel about the trend of movie musicals choosing big names over talent or ability when it comes to stuff like this?
I won't lie. I'm kind of like, what's the word? Snooty when it comes to that kind of stuff. I usually get really angry because there are so many people who are so outstanding and can translate really well to film. I think we've seen it happen with Cynthia Erivo. We've seen it happen with, obviously, Jennifer Hudson. And then with Aaron Tveit. Like, so many Broadway actors and actresses can do both mediums. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, can, if they're just given the chance, like, people are going to be invested in watching someone who's good perform, even if they're not a name yet. And I get really frustrated with things like La La Land, where it's like, the whole time I was just like, this should have either not been a musical, or it should have been done with real New York or LA or Chicago, like, performers, mm-hmm. who have that power and they can bring it to the screen. But for this, for some reason, I didn't mind it as much that people weren't the best of singers. I think it was because everything else was so fun, mm-hmm. and so stylized that it worked. Like, I think Meryl's got a great voice. I think especially for the number where she's singing on the cliff. I don't want to talk. That mm-hmm. one. Because I think her voice really comes through there. But, like, Amanda Seyfried, like, I think she was great. Like, I think this was a really great introduction to hear what her voice sounds like. Mm-hmm. But, like, I wasn't crazy about her in something like Les Mis. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like her voice, like, the style of her voice worked really well in Mamma Mia. Like, I think...
Yeah.
You're going to have people that can sing the crap out of Mamma Mia. But as long as you've got... honestly, like, the hardest part about singing ABBA is the breath control. Because mm-hmm. ABBA has really long phrases and a lot of them are very low. Like, Dancing Queen, is one of the hardest songs I've ever had to sing because of the amount of air you have to sustain and the part of my voice that it's in. It's, like, really tough. So I think if you can do it okay... and have fun with it still. Like, that's the point of ABBA. Mm-hmm. ABBA is meant to be fun. ABBA is not meant to be taken too seriously. And so I think it works. But usually I do get a little like, you could have cast... Like, I can't imagine seeing anyone other than Meryl Streep play mm-hmm. Donna in that movie. And the two friends, Mrs. Weasley and...
Christine Baranski and Julie Walters.
Yes. They were... Like, I just want... to be them, like, and you know what? Not the best singers, but, like, still dynamite performers.
Absolutely, and they give it their all. They are friendship goals, first of all.
Oh, my gosh.
I want every friendship I have to be Rosie and Tanya.
I know. I just want to be, like, a mixture of all three of the dynamos. I'm like, can that just be my identity?
Right. They're having so much fun. And I do love, and I think you get a little bit more of this, actually, in the stage version than you do in the movie, because the movie focuses on the three older women, since they're the big names. Mm-hmm. But you get this juxtaposition of the younger three girls with the older three.
Yes.
And
yes.
These similar friendships and these similar dynamics. And it's nice to sort of see, like, oh, Sophie's so clearly related to her mom that even her friends are similar to her mom's friends.
Mm, yeah. I have never seen the stage version because I just haven't had the opportunity yet, but I would love to see what the friends of Sophie are like on stage and if they have more moments, because there just isn't, like you said, there's just not a lot mm-hmm. that happens for them. But I mean, I love the women that they cast in it. The Scottish girl, she was giving me life.
I do want to know what Sophie's childhood was like, because like she's clearly grown up on this Greek island, but her friends are like Scottish and Australian,
and like knows the you never hear anybody speak Greek, and it's like I hope you learned the native language of the place that you just
American accents. Like, what was? Did she go away to school and then come back?
Who knows? I don't even know. I didn't even think about that.
It drives me crazy because like the whole thing is that she's been living on this island at this hotel with her mom.
And then also Gabe and I were talking, we're just like, her tan would have been so much more set in. Like, that just looks like she got there like 3 days before shooting and got a little bit of a tan on. We're like, that's not the tan of someone who's lived on that island for 20 years.
Right. You guys have lived on cruise ships, you know.
I miss that tan, man. I'm like looking at my skin now. I'm like, oh, one day we'll get nice and sun-kissed again, baby. It's okay.
Yeah, no, you can tell that this whole cast just, like, went to Santorini for a month and just had a really good time dancing and singing in front of the camera, and right. Then all came home, and they were like, that was a vacation.
Yeah, exactly. I remember watching the behind the scenes when it was, like, you know, straight up just on DVD, and kids, DVDs are like those circular discs that we would put on into a little machine that would play the movie back in the day. I know. But yeah, there was like a behind the scenes thing and I watched it, and their process actually seemed pretty rigorous. Like, their director and choreographer would make them dance full out and sing full out, even mm-hmm. though they weren't, like, you know, doing that live version of movie musicals. And I really appreciated that because, like, I think that made, number one, I think that gives more credit to Broadway actors and anyone mm-hmm. doing live theater. But also, I think it brings out a different part of your performance through doing a musical, and I think it made it look more fun. I think that's the reason I don't care if the singing is not great, because I can see that they're really busting their ass and they're really trying their best, and that's sometimes even more fun and exciting to see than someone having the best singing voice and doing all the riffs in the world, you know?
Sure, absolutely. And it makes you, especially for something like this, where you want to sing along, you want to dance along.
Yeah.
It makes it accessible.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's, like, what ABBA wanted to be. Like, they wanted to be, like, a sing-along type group.
Right.
Like, their music's not that deep. But it's catchy, and it's fun.
It is at that. Well, this is a podcast about rom-coms, so I think we need to talk about the romance in this story a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with the younger couple and then work our way to the big chunk, which is Meryl Streep's rom-com story.
Got it.
So you've got, Sky, this guy played by Dominic Cooper, and then you've got Sophie, who's they're the couple getting married. And I just feel like it's unclear what the story is trying to say about them. You know, you've got all the older adults sort of telling them repeatedly,
Don't get married.
Don't get married yet, and you're rushing into this, and, like, I don't want you to get trapped, you know, too young, and all this kind of stuff. And they, you know, at the end, they decide, spoiler alert, not to get married yet and to go travel instead. And I just find it so confusing, because, like, can you not travel once you're married?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. No. No, I agree. I think it's bizarre. We know nothing about their relationship except that they say that they're obsessed with each other, and they say that they're, like, her defense of any time, Sophie's defense of any time anyone tries to tell her, hey, maybe you should, like, wait a little bit longer, it's just like, oh, you don't understand me, and it's very teenager mentality, right. Which honestly would make sense if she hasn't had much interaction without the amongst, like, the outside world, mm-hmm. and hasn't been able to experience the outside world because she's felt obligated to stay on the island. But it kind of also brings into that idea, it's like, well, where did she meet Sky? Like, is Sky Greek? Is his family from the island? Like, because he's clearly British. Like, it is a very, like, when did they start dating? And is it rushed because they've just not experienced the rest of the world? Or is it rushed because they just met? It would have just given Sophie a little bit more depth. I would have cared about her and Skye's like I care about Donna and all the dads. Like, I care so deeply about Donna's happiness and and all of her relationships. And so it'd be nice to care that much about Sophie as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's also this sort of weird thing where, you know, Donna sort of seems like she doesn't want her daughter to get stuck the way she did. You know, there's this whole narrative of, you know, she got pregnant and she couldn't go home, and so she had to find a job and, you know, and work and raise her daughter, which is a totally legitimate narrative, and it does happen to a lot of people. But it doesn't actually feel like that's really what happened with Donna. Like, she clearly traveled, because she wasn't born on this, you know, island in Greece. She, you know, had multiple relationships or flings or, you know, whatever they were. She, you know, moved to this exotic island and started her own hotel business and, you know, had a band with her friends. Like, it doesn't really feel like she didn't live a life before having her daughter.
I think, like, I mean, spoilers, probably, I'm going to be talking about it probably a little later, but apparently the origin story of if we think about the next movie in the Here We Go Again, Mamma Mia saga, it seems like she had gone to college. She experienced school, she got an education, and she chose this way of her life. And the one thing we do learn is that she wasn't allowed to come home because she got pregnant. Mm-hmm. Unwed pregnancy. So that's kind of the only idea that we have that she got stuck, but she could have gone anywhere with Sophie.
Right. So yeah, so it feels a little shoehorned in, I would say. But the idea of, you know, a mom having those concerns for her daughter, I totally get that. I just feel like they didn't actually write the mom who would have those concerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not helped by the fact that Meryl and the two women playing her friends are older. You know, clearly it's written they're supposed to be like 40, right? Like they're supposed to have, you know, she's supposed to have had her daughter very young. And they cast a bunch of women in their 50s because those were the women they had who wanted the roles and were great for the roles, and that's fine. But it does, again, sort of mitigate that feeling that Donna really got stuck at a young age.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that. That's true.
Which I didn't really think about much until the second movie came out.
Yeah.
And you start sort of doing the math.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute.
Really makes sense.
Hold
up.
The
second movie kind of throws the entire plot of the first movie out the window anyway.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to do what we want.
They totally change the guy's background stories. They're like, we're just going to do it however feels right. Which is fine. Again, it's just for fun. And that brings us to Donna and her love square, I don't know.
Yeah.
With all of the men.
Her love web.
First of all, can we just admit that Bill is clearly Sophie's father?
Like, thank you. I wrote it down. I was like, Bill is totally her dad. Like,
first of all, he looks the most like her of any of them.
It is the most Aryan family. I'm like, it's
you guys
clearly
are all from Norway.
Like, you're Vikings. Like, come on. This is the match. There's no part of me that's like, well, it's Sam. But can we also say that, like, Colin Firth has the best type of, like, cute, hot dad energy? I'm like, yes, Bob. Colin Firth's just stepping up. Like, he's the only one that was like, I'm your dad. I'm here. I'll do anything. Here's money. And I'm just like, okay, Colin,
right,
stepping up.
All in from the start. He has no idea what's going on, but he's like, he's here for it.
He's so earnest. I love him so much.
And he's having the most fun with this. He, in an interview a few years ago that I was watching, someone said, you know, they were talking about his career and blah, blah, blah. And they said, when you die and you go to heaven, what do you want God to say to you? And without blinking and totally serious-faced, he just went, I loved you in Mamma Mia. Like, he clearly had so much fun doing this part.
Oh, my God. I love that. Oh, that makes me love him even more.
I mean, like, and he's been in some serious stuff, you know? He's, like, got the Shakespeare actor thing going, and he's
Pride and Prejudice
dramas, and, you know, and a bunch of really serious, more modern pieces as well. And it must be fun to get to kind of unwind and do something like this.
Oh, I'm sure it was such a relief to him. Yeah, I love
Pierce Brosnan, again, I feel like he also is just having so much fun.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why I just didn't, like, I scoffed. I remember scoffing, like, the first time I ever saw the movie, being like, his voice sucks. But then, like, watching it now, I'm like, he's having so much fun that I don't care. Like, I just don't care. It's like watching, it's like if, like, my dad were decided, I want to do a musical, and it's going to be at, like, the town hall, with a bunch of people from town, and I'm just going to do it because I've always wanted to do it. I would have so much joy watching my dad just, like, sing and dance, and that was, like, watching all of them. I was just like, they're having so much fun. They always do these serious, like, high stakes, high intense roles that they just get to let loose and be on a beach. Like, do it.
Absolutely. And it's so funny because the relationships that are happening with these adults, you know, they haven't seen each other for 20 years. They were all basically one night stands, maybe two or three night stands.
Yeah.
But by the end, when you get to the wedding and Sam and Donna, like, randomly at the end decide at the last minute to get married, you're so excited for them.
Yeah. But I will say, I got really mad when all, I mean, I know it's for the plot and that's like, that's why we were saying, like, this plot is a very loose plot, and they just kind of shoehorn things in. But I just got so mad about the whole idea was, like, that Sophie couldn't find her identity until her dad was in the picture, mm-hmm. or the idea of her dad being in the picture, and that her one dream was to have her dad walk her down. Well, I'm just like, your mom worked her entire life to be there for you and to give you everything that she could, and that's, like, it was only the very last effort when you didn't know what else to do that you're like, oh, will you walk me down the aisle? It's just like, obviously.
Like, wait, like, had that not occurred to you before now?
And then all the dudes in the, and then, like, all the dads, like, stand up in the church. I'm like, white men, sit down. This is not about you.
But it's gonna be about them.
They're like, I don't get this. Why? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it after whatever wedding happens here, okay?
Right, and then that somehow gives her enough closure to suddenly realize what she wants, which is to, like, not make a decision yet and to go traveling and not get married.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you watch it again, even if it's just the last scene, when Sam starts singing to Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. like, Amanda Seyfried is doing this weird, like, meeping around the corner of him. Like, she's giving me that, like, that meme that Kim Kardashian, like, peeking out through the bushes thing. I'm like, what is she doing? Why does she know that she's on screen right now? Like, she's just, like, meeping around him and making these really weird faces. So I encourage anyone to go watch that again. Just that scene to be like, what is she doing?
I feel like that happens sometimes in movie musicals because they're trying to, like, film these choreographed sort of scenes over and over again, and then they end up, like, needing one angle that they have to get just to get someone's face, and it means that people are, like, in the wrong place behind them, you know, because that happens a couple times in various movie musicals where you're like, why is that person just awkwardly standing over their shoulder?
Why is this the shot they chose?
I love it when that happens. Like, every shot's not going to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So, anything else we want to say about Mamma Mia?
Why were the dudes wearing such scary masks at the hen party?
What is with those masks?
I was like, this is a horror show.
Everything about the stag party confuses me. Like, why did they come out of the water? What is with that choreography? Why do they attack the girls wearing these, like, monkey masks?
And, like, all the women are like, yes!
Yes, Ned! The women must be so drunk by the time the guys show up.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, gone.
They're just drinking everything in sight.
I have to say, having the whole thing happen over the weekend of a wedding does help with a lot of the sort of jukebox musical problems of, like, how do we shoehorn this song in?
Oh, yeah.
Like, whatever, everyone's drinking. They feel like singing a song.
Absolutely. That's why I was like, yeah, it works. Like, I'm gonna tell your mama you're out. Like, that song. Oh, I love it. That is such a ridiculous song.
There's no point to it, but it's great.
And it's my favorite. Like, it's probably my favorite number because that and Mamma Mia are, like, my favorite. They just have so much fun.
So much fun.
Oh, I also do want to say that I love that for the hen party, that the dynamos are the chosen form of entertainment. Like, I'm like, yes, the dynamos are much better than hiring a stripper. Like, absolutely.
Yo, if my mom had been in a band with her best friends in the 70s, I absolutely would want them to appear at a bachelorette party in 70s spandex and go crazy.
I would have lost my mind. Like, the way Sophie loses her mind, it honestly makes me think, I'm like, I'm curious if for the shooting of this scene, because it all seems so authentic with how excited the girls are. I'm like, I feel like I wonder if no one had seen a rehearsal, no one had, like, I wonder if this is the first time they saw Meryl and the other two women, like, in the Dynamo's costume singing and, like, doing the full act, because the excitement felt so real And I was like, that's good acting. But I was like, but it also feels legitimately real. And it, like, they were at a concert and they just saw Beyonce. Like, that's... And that's how I'd react.
Right. That's how you react, like, watching it. And that's how I feel when they get to the credits of this movie.
Oh, my God.
And they sing Waterloo, and they're all in the costumes.
You want another? You want another?
Oh, my God. And, like, and the guys, like, God bless them, they've all got their beer guts just, like, shoved into those ones.
Give me that dad energy. It's yes.
So good. And they clearly were just like, we're going to have 2 days where we're just going to sing this song over and over and over again and make you guys dance, and you're all going to be cracking up laughing because it's so ridiculous. Just embrace it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just have fun. It does not matter.
I feel like that's a great place to wrap this up. Before we say our final goodbyes, I do want to thank all of our supporters and our listeners, and particularly our patrons on Patreon. So that's Emily, Robert, Bob, Esther, Sean, and Tim. Thank you guys. You keep this going. And if anyone else is curious about helping us keep the podcast going and getting access to some fun bonus content, go check us out on patreon.com/romcomkilljoys and like us on Facebook and Instagram as well. And thank you guys all for listening. And so, as we do every week, we're going to wrap this up with what we like to call our antidotes, our suggestions for other things to go watch, read, consume, to continue your love for all things weird. Emily, do you have any suggestions for us this week?
Yes. Well, number one, to watch, because as I was watching the movie, I just kept thinking, oh, I really want to watch Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Like, because I remember when it came out, it was such a palate cleanser just for life, because it was right after, or was it right after the election or right before?
Yeah,
I think it was right after the election.
Yeah.
And so, like, everything just felt so heavy in the atmosphere. And that movie was just such a breath of fresh air that there was, like, it was just so, it came out at such a perfect time in history that I was like, oh, I need this in my life. And so anytime that I watch it, it kind of gives me that same, like, feeling of relief. Mm-hmm. Because it's got the same feeling of stylized, like, highly stylized, just having fun. But actually, like, the singers in it are, there are more Broadway singers in that one. And I think it's very good. I think it's really well done. And so definitely I suggest that. But also, I'm actually about to start reading this, but I listened to a podcast where the woman who wrote this book was talking, and I think it's actually very, it relates really well to Mamma Mia. It's Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Okay.
And it's basically just about, it's a very, like, I guess I would categorize it in the self-help, but also in under, like, female empowerment and taking ownership of your own life. And it's really all about unleashing the part of the woman's psyche that, like, has been tamed down by society, how we've kind of grown up in a world where we're meant to make ourselves smaller, we're meant to make ourselves quieter, polite, like, good, where it's like if we had just let ourselves kind of totally unleash our inner whatever, like, what power do we possess? Like, what mountains can we move? And I listened to a podcast where that was kind of explained, and I immediately went out and bought the book. Safely, of course. I had to do my grocery Target run. So then I found it there, and I was like, I'm buying this book. So I think that anyone who enjoys reading, like, feminist content and watching movies that empower women, like, I think those two would go well together. If you want something that's, like, real, like maybe read Untamed, and then when you need to, like, have something to make you laugh and go, oh my gosh, like, it's gonna be okay, like, then watch Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Yes, what a great day that sounds like.
Yes, that might be my day tomorrow.
There you go. I love it. Unleash the beast, ladies.
Yes.
All right, my antidotes. The first one is, a couple weeks ago, there was a tribute stream that came out for Stephen Sondheim's 90th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing is good. If you're into Broadway, you know, definitely check out the whole thing. But particularly, you can just find this on YouTube, Meryl Streep and Christine Baranski and Audra McDonald, an absolute Broadway legend,
yes,
did a group performance of the song Ladies Who Lunch. And it is performed as the three of them being on a Zoom happy hour and just getting trashed and singing to each other.
It's brilliant. It's so good. Chef's kiss. Mwah.
Like, it's such a 2020 mood. It like makes me feel better about my life every time I watch it.
I mean, I was just talking to Eliza before this came on. I kind of need it because I had a virtual happy hour last night and I'm feeling it today. So here's to this lady who lunched.
Well, you are not alone because Marilyn and Christina are right there with you.
I'm in good company.
Absolutely. So check that out. And then my other suggestion, if you like the campiness of, you know, sort of these big Broadway musical style things, check out the television show Gallivant. On ABC a couple of years ago. It was maybe like 2015, 2016. And it's a sort of medieval fantasy setting TV show that is also a musical. Every episode has like 2 to 4 original songs. And it is so funny. Like, I cannot stress enough to you how much I laugh every time I watch Gallivant. It is so weird and so quirky.
Yeah.
And it has an amazing, the main cast is amazing, but they also have these incredible guest stars who come on all the time, from like Weird Al to Ricky Gervais to John Stamos, Kylie Minogue, like a whole bunch of people who all come on and just like wear weird Ren Fair clothes and sing a ridiculous song and then peace out. And the music's great. The humor's hilarious. Check out Gallivant. It's on Netflix.
That's so hard to create new original songs mm-hmm. for every episode. That's so much work. And those shows, it's like, they never last long enough, but people don't understand how hard it is to make those types of shows.
Right. And you know, so to write that music and then to put on those productions.
Yeah, I'm excited.
On a weekly, you know, a weekly basis.
Yeah, I definitely got to rewatch that because I think I've only seen like one episode, but I really enjoyed it. So I got to jump back on.
It's so much fun. And it's like, it's really quirky and weird. And it's got all these like anachronistic jokes, you know, thrown in there into the mix, which is my kind of humor, at least.
Yes.
And again, very big on the girl power. You know, you've got like a badass princess who saves the day, and the ladies do not take any shit from the men. It's great.
Oh, then absolutely, I'm going back into it.
All right, so that was our show, everyone. Emily, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
This was great. We'll have you anytime. Everyone, check Emily out online and listen to our other episodes, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rom-Com Killjoys podcast. If you liked this episode, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Rom-Com Killjoys. And if you'd like to support us further, you can become a patron at patreon.com/romcomkilljoys to gain access to exclusive bonus content. Our theme song is Lady Slut Hitchhike Love by the band A Giant Dog. And the song you're listening to now is a cover of one of my favorites, Baby Love, by Colin Langanis. Remember, Killjoys, don't let anyone kill your joy. Not a rom-com, not me, not anyone. See you next time.